Hello everybody, James here. Story time with Dutch Mantel, episode 65.5, or Ask Dutch Anything 9, I think. Dutch has two, but we are going to speed through these plugs, but Dutch has got two books. If you want them unsigned, you buy them from Amazon. If you want them signed, you make your request at dirtydutchmantel with 2 L's at gmail.com. I have two books as well, one on The Rock, one on Owen Hart. The links are in the description, excuse me. This video and every video and every podcast, you cannot miss them if you want to read two fine books. And I've got a new podcast out with Shane Douglas. You flipping your hair around just to mock me, because I normally do that.
No,
you started pointing that out now when I do that, but I've got a hat today, so I'll be all right.
Continue your Shane Douglas plug.
Yes, Shane Douglas.
I'm very interested in hearing that myself.
Very good show as well, our first show. It drew rave reviews from those who listened to it and watched it. Shane Douglas
that,
Official.
That was me.
It was.
That was me.
You that was must me. Have a lot of pseudonyms on YouTube.
I was raving. This is a good show.
And yeah, Shane Douglas Official, the YouTube channel. The show is called Franchise University with Shane Douglas, and they're coming out every Tuesday as well. Now, this is Ask Dutch Anything, as I said before. If you want to ask Dutch anything, go to questionsfordutch@gmail.com. Make your submission there. And if it's really, really good and we've got the time, we're going to answer it on a future episode of the Tuesday Ask Dutch Anything shows. But for now, here is the first question. Philip Fisher. I sent this question the other day, but I actually had the wrong information. I was wondering why Randy Savage dropped the belt to Jerry Oski in Louisville. Were they trying to build something out of Jerry Oski, or was Savage leaving? But I think Savage regained the title the next week. Anyway, love the show. Look forward to it every week.
Now, who wrote this?
Philip Fisher.
Philip Fisher. If that's not a bogus name, I don't know what is. Philip Fisher. All right, Philip. If you don't even have the facts on it, how do you expect me to have the facts on it? He dropped it to Jerry Oski 1 week. Then Savage got it back the next week. Is that what you're saying? Is that what he says?
Possibly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And why did it happen?
Mm-hmm. No idea.
I don't know. Hey, I don't have an answer for everything. It's wrestling.
They go strike maybe, out on the first one.
Okay, let's make up an answer. Maybe Savage was leaving, then all of a sudden he said, "No, I'm not leaving." So he takes it back. How about that?
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Hey, I could have said that and you would have taken it for gospel. But I don't mislead any of the fans here on Storytime with Dutch. So that's my truthful answer.
If you want Dutch to not answer your questions, go to questionsfordutch@gmail.com and make your questions there. But that was a difficult one. I'll grant you that. But I thought I'd ask it anyway.
You hadn't given me the deal today. You hadn't even given me that.
No, I didn't.
All right. Yeah.
I'll promise I'll do it before the show is out.
On the other show, you didn't give me that.
Well, no,
tell the fans what that means.
Oh, we've decided that.
It's an old inside gesture.
It means if somebody in the back comes from the back and starts wiggling their tie, that's the go home signal to take it home right away.
And where is that from?
Well, I mean, it's probably before him, but someone told me it was Gene Anderson's gimmick.
Yeah, but it comes from the Carney days, mm-hmm. or the vaudeville days. You've seen this in vaudeville.
No, it's haven't.
You've never seen that?
No.
They talk about it. And when somebody comes out and said, "Oh, you're stinking the joint up, kid, get out of here." You've never seen that?
No.
Hey, this is a learning experience for you too,
James. Apparently so.
See? Okay, go ahead.
Next question. Terry Kent from Waynesboro, Virginia. VA's Virginia, isn't it?
VA is
Virginia. Yeah, I don't know.
Or Veterans Administration, yes. One of the other.
From Veterans Administration, Waynesboro. James and Dutch on YouTube, there is a match listed from 1976 between Rip Tyler and Cowboy Bob Kelly versus Ron and Dutch Bass, with Paw, or Par Bass, not Mar, as your manager. It is my understanding that Paw, I'm going to say it wrong every time, Par, was only used once or twice. I've researched it throughout different historians who Par was, and the closest I've found out was the rumour he was either Ron's or Dutch's actual father. Please shine light on this mystery. Thank you so much.
It is a mystery. And his name is Paw Bass. And these historians that, what's his name again?
Terry Kent.
Terry, these historians you talk about, who are they? Because historians can be anybody. You'd even look at me and say, I'm an historian in a certain way, and I probably am. But here's a story about Dutch and Ron Bass. Everybody knows Ron Bass, that was his actual, his actual working name. So I forgot where we were. We were in Kansas City, and we wanted to leave. And Ron said, why don't we go to, I think it was called Southeastern Championship Wrestling, I think. It was in Florida and Alabama, around Mobile and Pensacola area. So we went down there, and he was down there before with another brother, Don Bass. And Don didn't want to go, so I went. So I just took the name Dutch, and they just stuck the name Bass on it. Now, Dutch Bass doesn't have any kind of a ring to it at all. Oh, that's Dutch Bass. It's just Ron and Don Bass. Yeah, that had a ring to it, a little bit of a phonetic ring. But Dutch Bass, but I was supposed to be his brother, his other brother or something. And they used to be managed by Ma Bass, a woman manager, which I thought was a pretty unique idea at the time, and said she'd get a lot of heat. They'd have to pull her off fans. That was back in the day where you could do stuff like that. And who did he think that the Paw Bass guy was? Did he say?
Yeah, either yours or Ron's real life father.
Well, that's not true. Actually, who it was? Can I have a little drum roll? It was actually Jimmy Kent, who was down there for a while, I think, and I may be wrong too. I'm not saying I'm 100% sure of that, but I think it was Jimmy Kent. They used him for like 2 weeks, and then something happened. They didn't want to use him anymore or something, but that's how all that came about. I was a Bass for about 6 weeks, and then the business was so bad there. At hell, I'd have made more money just working a job. I said, well, I can't make the trips and pay for rooms and all that on this money. So I got to leave. So I left. So, and Ron Bass now has passed away. And he died, I don't know, about 5-10 years ago. He died some while back.
No, about 6 years ago, 2017.
Okay. And I remember when he died that his son wrote me an email and told me that he used to talk about me all the time and how much he enjoyed being with me, and which was nice to hear. And he used to talk about his son all the time too. So I never met his son, but I kind of knew him through Ron. So, and I told him, thank you very much, and how much I respected his dad, because I really like Ron Bass. Ron Bass was the one who gave me my hometown.
Oh, really?
Oil Trough, Texas. So I'm a cowboy from Texas. And he says, and I'm looking for a name one day on a trip. He says, you know what? They got an Oil Trough, Arkansas. He says, why don't you make an Oil Trough, Texas? And he gave me the name. So I took it. And as Lance Russell used to say, the first citizen of Oil Trough, Texas, Dirty Dutch. So, and that's how I got the Oil Trough, Texas. I always thought the name fit really well, so I just kept it.
Do you know what would have been a better name instead of Dutch Bass?
What's that?
Big Mouth Billy Bass, and you could have had a character where you were singing fish.
Oh yeah, that would have been good. Billy Bass. That would have actually been and hey, I may have got some of the residuals off that. I could give them the idea for the Billy Bass deal.
Yeah.
You know?
They were everywhere for a while. It's just, I don't know. Probably worth something now. Hulk Hogan's probably got 1,000 of them. He body slammed them all, and they were 3 tons each, and he died.
Well, he probably came up with the Billy Bass gimmick.
He probably turned down. Do you know his story is that he apparently turned down the George Foreman grill because he was out that day and he didn't listen to his messages that day, so they called up George Foreman instead.
And just hired him all of a sudden.
Yeah. We're going to move on. Graham, Hulk
Hogan. You kind of got it in for old Hulkster.
He's one of my dream interviews.
Really?
Yeah, he really is. But the thing is,
we need to get him.
He's just let me ask you this.
That's what I'm saying. Would you bring up, you said that here and here, that, but you know, but the real facts are this. Would you do that to him?
I'll probably start just shifting my tie around really violently, like whenever he starts. Like, in fact, I'll take a bow tie, and every time he starts lying, I'll spin it. So,
but you and the fans and the viewers, the only one that knows that. He doesn't know that. So when he sees you, he says something wrong with your bow tie.
It's hot in here. It's funny that actually I didn't even start saying that. And the next question is about Hulk Hogan. Graham says the story goes that Hulk Hogan almost got his ass kicked by Terry Funk over Hogan leaking the fact he beat Terry in South Africa after agreeing they'd never speak publicly about it. The fight was meant to be in Japan, but Terry couldn't get through the door. I believe Hulk Hogan's locker room door. Did you hear of this?
No, I never heard of this. Terry couldn't get through the door of what? Beating his ass?
Of Hulk Hogan's locker room. Hulk Hogan locked himself in the locker room, and Terry, with some journalists supposedly, tried to break in and beat up Hogan in front of the journalists, and it never happened.
And where was this?
Japan.
He was trying to beat the door down in Japan,
mm-hmm.
and to confront Hulk. Mm-hmm. Over the statement about South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
That's a layered question.
That's an international question.
No kidding.
That's many time zones in that. We'll leave that going. Niall Hayes, do you feel that the wrestling market has been too saturated? WWE have Raw, SmackDown, and NXT. AEW has Dynamite, Rampage, and Collision. Is this too much to ram down fans' throats weekly? I know the shows have expanded due to the talent rosters getting larger, but the way it's going, can you see the territory days coming back, i.e. more promotions with less roster?
And I see the territory days coming back.
Well, is it...
I know what he asked.
Okay.
This is my interpretation of it, James, and you can give yours.
Okay.
You see what he does, people? I get a question, and he wants to tell me how to answer. See?
I'm editing this out. I'm kidding. I'm not. Carry on.
No, it's do I see the territory days coming back? Not no, but hell no. Is there too much wrestling on TV? Well, for fans, it can be, I guess. But I think we covered this during our show this past week. It's TV money that's paying for these shows. So it might not be too much for them because their ratings credibility are what they have to have a certain amount of viewers to make it possible for them to charge whatever they charge. It's got to go a lot less than 400,000 because that's what AEW is doing on Collision, 450,000 or under 500 on a Saturday night. So now, this plays when? Tuesday?
Tuesday, yeah.
Next Tuesday. Okay.
This Tuesday. wink, wink.
Wink, wink. We got it. I said next Tuesday because we're doing this ahead. I'm really interested to see what AEW will do this Saturday night. Because college football starts this Saturday night. And the wink, wink, talking about last night, which is Raw, I'm interested in seeing what they do against a college football game on Monday night, too, which has my favorite, Clemson versus Duke, which, you know, Duke won't draw any people. Clemson will. I'm going to see if it's going to cut into their rating. But is there too much wrestling? I don't know. What is too much? Too much to me might not be enough to you, or and vice versa. So I don't know. Do you think there's too much wrestling, James? That's, if that is your real name. Is that your real name,
it James? Is, it is James, yes.
Okay.
Thank you. And Dutch, if that is your real name.
Yeah.
It's a good point that you bring up. You say, well, what is too much? And then you say, very rightly so, that it is a content, TV is now content driven. It's a content driven business. They're paying for a show almost regardless of what the ratings are to a point. And TV money is higher than it's ever been. So what is too much? I can use UFC as an example, because they, here's the thing, they make more money, UFC, than they've ever done before. They also, over these last few years, ever since they signed a deal with Fox to basically produce between pay-per-view and Fox and other affiliates of Fox, shows every single week, give or take. Like 48 weeks out of 52, they run shows. And they make more money than ever, but I'm less interested than ever because the roster's too big. I can't keep up with who's who. And the more diffuse the spotlight, the less... shone it is on a certain select few people who you can get invested in.
Well, the thing is, it's like wrestling. You can watch wrestling till the cows come home. But what does it mean? It means exactly what the story you've weaved or woven around this particular matchup. And if it means something in the story, then it would reflect that in the viewership. But if it's just a match, if you can turn it on at any time and there's a match going on, well, it doesn't interest you. But if it's got a story about it, you know, now you're wondering where it's leading. Now, a lot of people talk about the bloodline. Where are they going to go? When are they going to wrap this up? Well, I don't think it's going to wrap up anytime soon. Because when you got a winner, they may change the characters. They may take Roman Reigns out. They may put Solo in charge of it. But then what they're doing, they're shooting for 8 months, 9 months, a year down the road when Roman comes back and wants to reclaim it. Now you got the story. So Solo's got time to build his story. Roman's already built his. Then you got the Usos running around and Paul Heyman. They're there. They're not going to get rid of that story. It will be some iteration, like that word, iteration of the story, because they've hit a winner. So if winner, winner, chicken dinner. So if if the slot machines are hitting, don't go to another machine. Stay on the same one you're on and see where it leads you. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Next one. What do you think I was going to say? No.
No, well, I didn't know what you were going to say. I was going to take my lead off you. So go ahead.
Next question. James Farrell. Virgil is in Memphis as Soul Train's Jones. Do you have any memory of Virgil there?
I never met Virgil in Memphis. First time I saw Virgil was when he was with... I met him since then. First time I met Virgil was when he was with Ted DiBiase. Hmm. It's the first time I ever knew there was a Virgil even around. And you hear on social media, on X, Twitter, or whatever, you know, you see the table around Virgil. You know, a lot of times it's empty. But I've been on conventions with him. It wasn't empty. He had people around the table, and he's out talking. And that's why people come to conventions, because they want to meet the people they used to see on TV. You know, there's an old saying, never meet your heroes because you're going to be disappointed. I don't think that's really true around most of the wrestlers. I think, hell, we're all friendly and, you know, like we've known you all our lives. And without fans, this is the way I look at it. Without fans, guess what? I'd have had to go get a real job. I'd have had to go drive a truck, or I'd have to do something else. And I would hate it like the worst thing I've ever done in my life. But the fans made it possible for me to go to the ring, act like an idiot, or do stupid stuff that they like, and make a living all these years off that. So So I bought houses and I bought cars, but it was all off wrestling money. Because now, can you imagine me? I was thinking one time, what if I really had to go get a real job? So I don't know what I'd put on my resume. Where have you been the last 15 years? Wrestling? Where were you employed? WWE? Who's your contact there? Vince McMahon? Yeah. Then I would go in there for the person to person if I got that far. And of course, if I'd have said wrestling, they may have known me, but they're thinking, now he's not going to be happy on this job. We can't put him in Madison Square Garden last year, and then we're going to put him in a damn a Winn-Dixie this week. There's something missing there, and I don't think he'd be a good mix.
Can you imagine putting Vince McMahon as your reference?
Oh, well, I could. Would I put him down? Yeah, I'd put him down, but they'd never get a hold of him.
Yeah, see? Exactly. Before we go totally off the beaten track on that one, I want to clarify something, because he also brings up this chap. Did you have any run-ins with Virgil at pop-up gimmick table at conventions here? Do you think the whole lonely Virgil thing was true at one point, but then...
Yeah, it was probably true.
Yeah.
It really was.
But do you think almost like being so lonely was Virgil, that it's almost like helped his popularity at these conventions?
I think it has. I really do. Because you feel sorry for him. Like, wait a minute. The guy's down there, and he contributed to the business. He was on TV. He was with DiBiase. People remember him doing that stuff. But I have been, like I said, conventions with him, and it's not that deserted as you would think. I like Virgil, and he came through Memphis, but I wasn't there, I just met Virgil. Am I obligated to the truth here?
No.
Oh, okay.
He was 600 pounds, and your body slammed in.
I'm going to tell the truth here. I met Virgil actually about 3 years ago at a convention. Of course, I knew who he was. He knew who I was. We just never formally introduced ourselves. Because at conventions, you don't have guys that, oh, this is Virgil, and Virgil, this is Dutch. Because we know who we are. We just never went out of our way to introduce ourselves. So... But as far as I know, good guy. I know nothing of his background, nothing other than Virgil. That's all I know.
Who's the biggest hustler at these conventions? I don't mean like who's got the longest line, but who will hustle and anything to get a
handsome Jimmy Valiant.
Yeah.
He will hustle a damn Social Security recipient at 97 years old. he will hustle. I've been on just regular shows with him. Oh, hey, brother. Hey, that's the way he talks. He's very low key. You see him in the back on a wrestling show or on an interview. Hey, brother. And he's screaming. And he comes to the back, and then he immediately goes back into the chair. Oh, brother. Oh, man. You would not know that it's the same guy. But he's out there at the table. Hey, it's only like $5 or whatever. And then he's got something out. Oh, this is only a dollar. He will sell whatever's not nailed down out there. And he's made a living out of this since he quit wrestling, 25 years ago?
He was still wrestling. That's the thing. He's been on the independents longer than he was in any like name promotion, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. But... I mean, Jimmy wrestling is not really wrestling. Mm. Jimmy is just dancing. Mm. I saw Jimmy one night in Cleveland, and they played the music. He went down, and New York City danced around the ring. Hit everybody, got in the ring. They rung the bell, ding, 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 ding. They just, and all of a sudden, ding, 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 ding. Match is over like 2 minutes later, and then they start the music again. Now he dances back, but around the other side that he didn't come down, and then he goes back. The whole thing lasted about 10 minutes, but his actual match lasted about two, and the people were standing the whole time. So you can't ask any more than that. And he wrestled 2 minutes, if you want to call it that.
Hey, well, there's someone who gets the business. And if you do it at 79, then you definitely get the business and still hustling.
Is that how old he is, 79?
I think he may be 80 now, 79, 80, something like that, yeah.
Well, he's a vegetarian. That's why he's so thin.
We shall move on. Lee Awful. I grew up in Louisiana watching Mid-South Wrestling when Watts started exchanging talent with Jerry Jarrett. I remember you came through a bit, this is you Dutch, came through a bit, of course, Rock and Roll Express, but Bill Dundee also came down. However, the angle worked. Bill, of course, is vertically challenged, but there was a mixed tag team match and Bill got in and body slammed the Dwarf. But somehow it wound up Bill got pinned by the Dwarf. Bill Watts laughed until he almost cried. Did Watts know what was coming? If he orchestrated it, how did they talk Dundee into taking the pinfall? Thanks. Completely different name. Sorry. Bill Dundee.
This is probably during the time that Dundee was booking Louisiana. And guys doing that, it's a part of the business. You book a match for the reaction it's going to get. And me and Bill were heels. People hated us, because I hated them. So it was like a double hate society out there. And he had got a big reaction when Bill got pinned by the midget, because nobody expected that. And Bill had no, it was Bill's idea for him to get pinned by the midget, because the people would like it. And then me and Bill, when the match is over, we'd have a pity party and we just stomp around like two little kids pitching a bitch. And I would throw my arms up in the air. And that's what I used to do. And I just hit the mat like a kid would do. People love that. And the reason I come up with that, I spent more time on looking at the lights than a $10 hooker did. looking at the ceiling at a $10 night hotel. But anyway, I used to do that. I'd pitch the bitch at the end, because when I left, that's what they would remember. They wouldn't remember who beat who or whatever. They'd remember me pitching my bitch, my little, you know, I'd just go out and slap the mask like a little kid and cried, you know, and then get mad at them because they were laughing. That's what they would remember. So when I'd go to the back, but they enjoyed that. They enjoyed somebody being down, having bad luck. And wrestling fans are they're very brutal sometimes. So,
can you explain the mechanics of how Bill body slammed the midget only for the midget to wind up on top and pin him?
I think what happened, I think it was the Fantastics were in the match. I think it was a six man. We had a little midget on our side too. I forgot. I cannot remember. But what happened? Probably somebody drop kicked the midget when he was up, drop kicked him in the back, and he went down. Referee was right there. 1, 2, 3. Or the other little midget could have got knocked down, and Bill's going back, trip over his own midget, and go down. 1, 2, 3. Of course, he's kicking out at 3 and coming up. No, you didn't get it. You didn't get it. They're outside. The referee's raising their hand up. You know, you just got to read the room, and anything like that will work. So you just got to make everybody in the match understand what's going on, so you don't get in each other's way, and you do your finish and you go home. Nobody gets hurt.
Is it true that Bill Watts loved it?
Oh, he loves stuff like that. Bill Watts, you know, he was a very serious wrestling guy. But things like that, it didn't matter, because you have midgets in it. They're supposed to be funny. They're supposed to be cute. Bill was, he only missed being a midget by like 6 inches. So he was about 5'7", no kidding, 5'6". But so you tell me how a guy 5'6" or 5'7" can make it in the land of giants. He had a hard time. So he had to actually be more creative and hustle more and push himself more, but he made it. So, and I hear now Bill is probably in his 80s, still going. He lost He lost his wife about 5-6 years ago, and he lost his daughter last year, and his son-in-law, Bobby Eaton. Mm-hmm. So he's only got one son, that's Jamie, that nobody knows where he is, including us, because he was supposed to be on our podcast last Friday, and he was unfoundable.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, Watts was pretty good at those finishes, and for a while, when he got a baby face over, like Junkyard Dog, he'd run Junkyard Dog, like, I mean, the dog, nobody could touch him there. Then they got Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and nobody could touch him there. So he got a couple, and Butch Reed, he got those guys over. Of course, then he had DiBiase. We talked about him last week. He had Jake the Snake. What a crew he had. So at one time, Mid-South, yes, it was a very, very hot territory. Nobody wanted to go there. But the trips in Mid-South, forget it. I mean, they would literally make you old before your time. Never been in a territory with longer trips.
Well, I told you I did 8.5 hours for the Wembley show. I tell you, I didn't get back till 3 a.m. That was a rough old day.
But the guys used to do that every 2 weeks in Louisiana, a one-way trip.
Yeah.
6 or 7 hours, yeah. And when you think about that, you say, wait a minute. Nobody can do that.
I mean, the wrestling's one thing, done. But the traveling is really what's going to get you.
Yes, it will. It will get you.
I think we've got time for one or two. We'll see how it goes. Chris C., hello, bad MFers. I hope you're both well. Huge fan of the show, so I'll try not to mark out and get right to it.
Did she call us MFers?
He did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it's in reference to Ricky Morton's story about the pimp who stood at the window.
Okay.
It is well known that Mr. Jim Cornette is famous for his copious ingestion of cheeseburgers and his mythical burger towel. What I'm wondering, because you guys never talk about food, is what was Mr. Mantell's go-to food choices on the road? I'd love to hear about what were Dutch's favourite dishes in each territory. Inquiring minds need to know. So, road food, where was the go-to stops?
Anywhere that had a oven going. The closest thing to the arena or out on the road. And, of course, we traveled a lot on interstate, so that would... Waffle Houses was a good stop till they started having a fight at every other one of them. but it was mostly fast food, and it would be a McDonald's or a Arby's or a Burger King or a Crystal or places like that. Because when you're out on the road and you're hungry, any type of food that can alleviate that hunger, you're gonna stop and you'll want to eat it. So we'd always get it to go. We would never go in and sit down. That took too long. That took too much time. So you get it to go, and then you would eat it while you're traveling. So if you wanted to go in and spend time in there, you're going to lose. You're going to get in about 30 minutes later than what you ordinarily would have.
Crystal. I never heard that one before. What was a crystal?
A crystal? Are you kidding me?
Never heard of it before. I've heard of Waffle House. Everyone has a fight there, but...
Everybody has. Crystal had the little hamburgers. It's like, I don't know what the other... It's like a White Castle. You know what a White Castle is?
I've seen that film, Harold and Kumar. Yeah.
Well, they make the little bitty burgers, and you go in there, and as opposed to standing outside, you go in there, and you order... And it's a pretty tasty little burger, you know, and that's what a crystal is. It's fast food. It's like a McDonald's cut in half is what it is.
Okay, with all the fast food joints you've gone to, let's say you've got the murderer's row of all the fast food burger places. Who does the best burger out of all of those? What's like the go-to place?
Well, I'm kind of partial to McDonald's. Because their food has gotten actually better, if you can imagine that. because McDonald's used to be, you know, it's a McDonald's, but now they've done something to it. I think they've changed the flavor of it, and it's actually pretty good. And I used to like Arby's. Arby's was good. And I never went into a Denny's. A Denny's is a, like a little restaurant. It's like a little higher. It's a higher caliber of Waffle House. So, and they got pretty good food, you know. So, but anything that was, I don't really have a favorite. But let me, Barry Horowitz always had to go to I forgot what he used to go to all the time. That's the only place he would eat. I can't remember it now. But it was something like a McDonald's or a Waffle House.
Like a Wendy's or Jack in the Box, I don't know.
It was one of those.
I'm going to find that out.
I will have the answer next week. I'll see. But you couldn't pass it. If you were with Barry Horowitz, pull in. I got to. And that's the only place he'd want to go to. So, but.
So what's your order then? So you go to Burger King, you go to McDonald's, whatever it is. What is your order?
Well, let me see. It's the little burgers. I like the little burgers. And it's like, they used to be like $1. I think they're $2. And I would get me about 3 of them and order fries and a Coke. That was it. Wait a minute. I had to watch my weight. Diet Coke.
I was going to say this. Like, if you wanted to eat clean on the road or eat as clean as you could on the road, where would be the least unhealthy places to go to, and what would your order be there?
Probably, it'd probably the least caloric places would be, or the most would be McDonald's. Mm. Hey, I didn't worry about that. I just did. Sometimes when you're on a trail and you're trailblazing, you're out there, you're all by yourself, you'll take anywhere that's got food. Mm. Now, some guys would go out and they're just so particular about how they order, and they want this and this and this. And I was going, just order something they got on the menu so they don't have to go in there and pick on it. And Barry Horowitz was like that, because he would always want to eat clean, and he did, but it would take forever to find his spot sometimes. I forgot what I'm going to find it out. I'm going to call him up and ask him.
I will give you one more very quickly, and then we'll leave it. Keeley has asked, why did Tom Zenk never make it big in the business despite his looks and ability?
First of all, he couldn't sell a ticket. I would think. Tom Zenk, he's a great-looking guy. His work was passable, not excellent. But he had zero personality about him. It's like you saying, okay, here we go again. Ladies and gentlemen, Tom Zenk is going to be in Cincinnati this Thursday night. Tom, how do you think that's it. That's how much personality he's got right there. But he can't sell a ticket. He's not a Dusty Rhodes. He's not anybody else who can talk. He's not a Roddy Piper, you know, because he has zero personality. That's what a lot of people don't understand about the wrestling business. The guy may not be, he may be the shits in the ring, but nobody cares. Somebody says, that handsome Jimmy Byatt, he can't wrestle nothing. He's awful. Who cares? Because the people stand up and he gets them shouting and clapping for no apparent reason other than he's having a good time. So they want to have a good time with him. And they go around the ring like the match I quoted. Match lasted the whole segment from the bell to bell or music to music, starting and stopping. It was about 10 minutes. The match was 2 minutes, but nobody cared because everybody's up and clapping and they're happy. And by the time he gets to the back, you know, the fans already gone. They've already gone back to their seats or wherever, to their car or whatever, and Jimmy just making it back to the dressing room. So that's why Tom Zenk didn't draw any money, because I don't know. They can see a lot of guys with good bodies. He wasn't the only one. So the women can, but there was nothing to him.
Yeah, he had good tag team partners. So he had Brian Pillman and he had Rick Martel as his two most famous tag team. So at least he was so-and-so's tag team partner, at least. He had good other halves with him.
So he was a tag team.
Yeah, I think he tried some single stuff in the early 90s, WCW. It just never really went anywhere.
Where's he at now? Where's he from?
He died a few years ago, I think.
Well, I know where he is then. So I didn't know he passed away.
2017. Wow, it was that long ago.
That's 7 years ago. What did he die of?
God, hang on. It's a very, very long medical word. I can't even read it. I've got my glasses. Atherosclerosis, cardiomegaly. So cardiomegaly.
The heart.
Yeah, sounds like enlarged heart. Yeah.
Well, condolences, but I didn't know he was gone. But again, it doesn't affect why he wasn't a bigger star, because he was kind of, to me, he was just kind of there.
On that note, we're going
to
shut down.
Is that disrespectful to the deceased?
Would it be more disrespectful if he lied and said he was great?
That would be.
What would Hulk Hogan say about him?
Hey, brother. I was there when they diagnosed. I told him, brother, let me tell you what. You need to get off Hulk. Now, he's going to contact you, and you're going to have him on. And you better have me with you so I can pull him off you. Oh, but you're in England.
Yeah, I was going to say, you have to swim over or something to get me first. Yeah. And plus, he's got a bad back. I fancy my chances.
And knees.
Yeah. I've got one bad knee at the moment, but mine will get better.
Hey, let me ask you this. Is he kind of accepted back in the WWE community again now?
He's been on WWE shows, for the last few years. So the company itself has forgiven and forgotten. I think some of the wrestlers have decided not to forgive and forget.
Like who?
I think Big E might have had
an
issue.
Who did forget?
I think he might have been, or like some of the New Day were like, we don't want him here.
Who's that?
You know, the New Day. Big E, okay. Xavier Woods.
Sorry. But does that affect your life, really?
No,
you just
really.
Know what somebody believes, and it don't affect you. Yeah, it don't affect me, so if it bothers them, they'll have to deal with that.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I just sort of think, just like, well, just don't get on and just live your lives. Righto, we're going to shut down this podcast. Thank you very much for watching. We'll be back again on Friday with the full episode of Storytime with Dutch Mantel. If you want to write in questions for next Tuesday's episode of Ask Dutch Anything, then write to questions@dutch.gmail.com. Just whatever you do, don't write and ask where Jamie Dundee is, because neither of us have an answer.
No, I'll tell you where he might be. Where do you think he might be?
God, at 10 a.m.?
No, well, it could have been 10 a.m. last night and went all the way through the night, then all the way through the day, then go all the way through the night again and through the day. What do you think it might be?
I don't know. It's 5 p.m. somewhere, as they say.
Could be in under lock and key. He could be, and I'm not saying this, I love Jamie, but he could be in jail. Mm. He could be incarcerated.
Well, when he's next released, please get in touch with us, Jamie. We'll have you on as a guest. But for now, thank you very much for watching. And Dutch, we the people.
We the people. See you, Jamie. Show up sometime.